Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Good morning, His Tabernacle live stream. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. That's right, we enter His courts with thanksgiving, do we not? And we're here to praise the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the great I am of every part of our lives. So our prayer is that you came expecting God to move in miracles and signs and wonders this morning, and to praise Him because we serve a living, supernatural God that cares about the details of your life. So we have amazing things happening in the coming weeks here at His Tabernacle. And first, we would like to welcome our guests. So if you're a guest in the house this morning, we are so excited to have you here to celebrate Jesus with us. Thank you. Go ahead and raise your hand if you're a guest in the house. Can we give a round of applause to our guests? We welcome you. Directly after service, we would love an opportunity to be able to meet you. So if you would come to this side of the building, we have a connect room. And that's a room where we have some refreshments, and many of the staff and leaders are there hoping to get a chance to put a face with your name and build some relationship. But we'll also give you information about many of the classes and the opportunities that we have available to you here throughout the week, because we are not just to love Jesus on a Sunday kind of church. We are get into His face, get into His word every chance we get kind of church. And so we would love to give you that information and just be able to meet you. Now, April 3rd, everybody say April 3rd. At 10 a.m., we are going to have the Great Egg Hunt. And this is an awesome opportunity for us to invite our community to come and to bring their children, bring their grandbabies or friends from the neighborhood to obviously look for eggs. And we would love to invite those of you that are willing to participate with us as volunteers on that day, or to bring candy, and of course invite people to come on out. If you are interested in volunteering your own services or donating candy, just come to the desk, the His Kids desk in the foyer. Then Easter Sunday. Powerful. We have a theater production available for you at our 9 a.m. and our 11 a.m. services. There will also be a petting zoo. But if 9 and 11 are not your service times, you can come at 7:30 a.m. in the morning and still get time with Jesus, right? I mean, He does love when we seek Him early in the morning. Can I hear an amen? So those of you that are 7:30 a.m. people, we will have a service for you. Otherwise, our theater production and the petting zoo is at 9 and 11. Now, if you are 18 to 30 years old, give a loud shout. I saw a whole lot of people that are older than 30 shouting. But hey, we're only as young as we think, or as old as we think, right? So tonight is Awaken, the Awaken Monthly Celebration, and they have March Madness happening tonight. So if you are 18 to 30 years old, come on out and join them. They're going to have prizes, games, and Pastor Chad Spencer is going to be preaching. It will be a powerful message. So you don't need a special invitation. Just show up, join in, build relationships. That's what we do as the kingdom. Then next Sunday is Pastor Spencer's birthday. Yeah, yes. This is an opportunity for us to love on him, to show him how much we appreciate him. We have been here in this building for 23 years. prior to that, he did ministry in other elements, and he's not so young. I harass him all the time because he tells me often that I'm getting older. And so I remind him that means he's getting older. So next Sunday, we are celebrating his birthday. And if you would love to bring a monetary gift to be a blessing to him, he deserves it. Don't you think? And I love blessing the man of God that God has blessed us with. Don't you? So if you would like to participate with that, that's going to be next Sunday. Make sure you tell him that you love and appreciate him, even as he's getting older and wiser. On that note, please stand. We are going to enter into worship. And we pray that you came today with a heart of expectancy, a hunger for the Lord in a way that you've never hungered for him before, as we seek his face.
Good morning. How y'all doing? We just gonna try that again real quick. Just one more time. Good morning. How y'all doing? Oh my gosh. Look. Y'all sound like a church. Oh my goodness gracious. Good morning. All right. So turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, give me Jesus. Say to the other neighbor, say, neighbor, give me Jesus. Now lift your hands and say, God, I want to feel you this morning. I expect a touch from you this morning. In Jesus' name. Y'all ready? Come on and sing this with me.
Yeah.
Don't. sing it
Jesus,
out.
Jesus, the one who broke these chains and took away my shame.
Yeah.
There is
one more time. Come on and shout it with everything. Say,
give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, the one who broke these chains and took away my shame. There is only one for me.
Thank you, Father God. Lord, we worship you.
Come on and give him a shout of praise. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Come on, guys.
You shed still it flows.
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know the blood that you shed still it flows.
Come on and sing that again. Say,
Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throne.
sing it out. Say,
Your blood will never lose its power.
Sing your blood.
Your blood will never lose its power.
This is my declaration.
Your blood will never lose its power.
Yeah.
Your precious.
That's all you got. That's all you got. That's all you got. That's all you got. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and your blood you ransomed the people of God. For every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made a kingdom and priests to your God, and you shall reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth, wisdom and might, and honor and glory," said blessing. Oh my goodness. You see, what you were just doing was getting ready for heaven. There's a song that only the saints can sing. It's about the blood. Angels can't experience redemption. That special song sound in the book of Revelation.
can only be sung by those who've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Knowing that the blood of Christ broke the back of the devil, knowing it broke the back of sin in your life, and today you're standing fully armored in God. The blood shall never lose its power. And I know the church world, we try to remain it. We don't want to offend anybody. It's a bloody gospel. But this is a bloody gospel. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus paid it all, so we don't have to. Can I hear an amen? Now, I don't know about you. Somebody I've heard people say before, well, you know, why do you got to keep singing the same song over and over and over? What do you think about the angels? All they do is sit around the throne. Isaiah chapter, I believe it's chapter 6, verse 1. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Oh, come on now. That's all they say. You see, when you get into the presence of the Lord, it's not words anymore. It's now releasing who you are to Him. I'm blood washed, amen? I'm a changed man, a changed woman. Come on, who are you? Are you changed? Amen. Come on, give Him praise one more time for the blood. Come on, give Him praise for the blood. Hallelujah! We bless you, oh God. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for washing our sins away. Thank you, Jesus, for not leaving us just desperately making it by, but making us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, God, we give you honor and praise. Thank you for the privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, God, that you listened to us. Thank you, God, that you were pleased with us this morning. We find it a great honor to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thank you, Jesus, for paying the price so that we don't have to pay it. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross. But thank you, Jesus, for raising from the dead, sealing who we are by the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your church. We honor you, God. We love you. Thank you for allowing us to practice this morning. I can't wait to get to heaven and hear the chorus of billions of people worshiping your name. Oh, God, that's going to be loud. That's right. Come on now. It's going to be loud. We'll have new ears. That's a good thing. Lord, we just honor you. We thank you for this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Cody.
Man, it's a good morning. It's supposed to be, what, 65 degrees today? Praise. That's seriously an opportunity to praise God right there. Oh, man. You know, people get awkward about money, but I think that's foolish because a lot of life is revolved around paychecks and what we can do and how we can spread the gospel through finances. We have a man of God who comes here sometimes, Brother John Avanzini, and he's actually raised, and this is crazy, he's raised over $1 billion to help the gospel go forward through Christian television. Oh, I lied. $3 billion so that the gospel could be preached on television. Well, money's evil. No, money's not evil. Money's a great tool for people to know about the Jesus that we love. Amen? I didn't really get a good amen on that one. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus said it like this. He said, yes, you should tithe. He made it clear that as believers, we should tithe. And in Malachi chapter 3, I'm going to read these verses. Just keep it simple. Starting in verse 10, it says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Man, what are good reasons to tithe? Number one, it shows honor to God. He said to do this. It was a command, not a suggestion. Yes, you should tithe. Bring all the tithe to the storehouse. Also, we tithe because it allows God to bless us. Man, obedience puts us in a position for blessing every single time. And I think it's great because people are like, oh, God just wants my money. The church just wants my money. I actually don't believe that. I think God wants to give us more by us proving we can be trusted with what we have. As parents, I'm not going to give my daughter. She just started learning she wants to learn how to cook. So we started off with, you know what? You can spread the peanut butter first. And then it was, you can spread the peanut butter and the jelly. The fluff, that's a different story. She can't yet be trusted with the fluff. But as she's getting older and trusted with these things, she's been cooking her own eggs. Why? Because she started off, you know what? We can trust her with this. We can trust her with this. We can trust her with this. And now she's graduated to another level of trust. And that's what giving is. It's not God trying to take. He's trying to say, well, what can I trust you with? And when we can be trusted with little, we can be trusted with much. Why do we tithe? Because it allows us to see clearly. Man, I know this last year might have been a struggle for some people, but I also know some people saw clearly and they elevated what they did have. What else is great? God says that he's going to stand beside and he's going to stop the loss. Not only stop the loss, but guarantee that nations will call us blessed. Because what we put in the ground will grow, and what's been supposed to grow on the vine will. We will be blessed when we obey God with our finances. He's not trying to get it out of us. He's trying to keep it coming to us. Amen? In this house, what we do is we have offerings right in front of you in the back of your seat, unless you're in the front row. And then we're going to fill this out, and we teach a tithe. That word is very simple. It means tenth. If you don't know how to do a tenth, just put it in your calculator. Whatever you made this week times 0.1. I don't know. I think that's how it works. Yeah? Look at that. Mackenzie solidified it. She was smart in high school, so yes. Times 0.1, and then you're good. And what we do is we actually bring our offering to the Lord. This is not a shakedown. It's not a, we're going to pass it around. Everybody's staring at your hands. No. We want to bring our offering to the Lord. So there'll be buckets in the front. And I want to encourage you, Pastor wants us to keep our masks on and to go back to your seat. If you're not comfortable doing that, you can just give at the end of service on your way out, or you can give via your phone. But we want to honor the Lord today with our tithe and our offering. And it's an exciting part of the service. It's not a loss. This is a gain. Every single time, this is a gain. What we do also is we have a supernatural blessing that we recite out of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Oh, I was going to have Isaac do it. Isaac could do it. You don't think he could do it? He said, I'm taking too long. All right, also, on your way up, there'll be a communion cup. If you did not get a communion cup, they'll be right next to the offering bucket. If you don't have an offering to give, that's all right. Come get a communion cup, because this is for everybody. Amen?
Amen.
There I am. Praise the Lord. I also want to give God praise. Someone sowed $30,000 last week to pay off the building, and we want to give God praise for that. We're giving our first $50,000 to pay off the mortgage this next week, I believe. And my wife and I are excited. A lot of people ask us these questions. What about our stimulus checks? And here's the tithe off our stimulus check. And so I want to remind everybody that that is income and increase. Amen. I don't know about you, I'm excited. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's make our supernatural proclamation. Will Isaac do it?
Yeah, he'll do it.
Okay, Isaac. Come on, Isaac. Don't be nervous.
Repeat after me. If I obey.
If I obey.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my basket.
I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings are chasing me down. They're tripping me up.
Trip me up.
Because I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
All right, you can make your ways up with your mask on.
Very good. Good job, I.
Give me Jesus, give me Jesus, don't
Praise the Lord. We're excited that you're here today. If you did not yet receive a communion cup but would like one, we have a masked usher to bring it to you. Does anybody else need a communion cup? Isaac, you can take that away. Amen. Could I have Josh Fuchsman stand, please? You know, there are just times that you just want to brag on what God is doing in people's lives. And I remember chasing Josh Fuchsman for 4 years on the phone with him and saying, Josh, you need to get right with God. Josh, you need to get right. He had grown up in a Christian home. That's his daddy sitting right there, Henry Fuchsman. Amen. And Josh would come for a week and disappear for months, and I would nag him, and he'd always have an excuse. He'd blame his wife a lot. So. But one day, Josh made a change. He changed forward. And I'm so honored that Josh is on our church board. He's one of our trustees at His Tabernacle Family Church. And I want to say, Josh, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I thank God for you. And I thank God for your dad who raised you in a home that loves the Lord. You know, there aren't a lot of homes like that. And Henry, you have served Jesus so many years. You are truly a genuine man of God. And I honor you and I thank you for who God has you in my life and also your family. We love you. Communion, I love communion. Y'all know that. But I don't do communion normal. I think there's nothing worse than doing something that becomes ritualistic. Jesus never did anything out of ritual. He did it out of love and out of family. It's important that you and I know that while we take communion, it's reminding us of what Jesus accomplished on the tree. How many of you are grateful that Jesus paid the price so you don't have to pay it? Now, I don't know about you, man, but can you imagine paying the price for sin? Can you imagine? Listen, when you really study the crucifixion, it is the most brutal, horrific thing. And it wasn't just done on Christ. It was done on many people of that day and era. But with Christ, it was with nails and the mocking. And you know what the worst wild part is? He could have stepped out. He could have said, enough is enough. He could have either gone, flamed them all up, or just said, I'm out. But because he loves you, because he loves me, and every time we take communion, we are just reminded how good he is. Aren't you glad Jesus is good? Aren't you glad Jesus never gave up on you? How many of you think Jesus should have given up on you at least once? You know, one of these days, I'm going to have Pastor Andrea give her testimony. Pastor Andrea's testimony is hair-raising. Actually, she shouldn't even be here. That car accident. But God, he loves us so much. Jesus was around his best friends. And aren't you glad he said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Amen. He's around his friends and he starts doing the Last Supper. Chest to chest, heartbeat to heartbeat, double dipping, true love. He grabbed the bread and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. You know, when we recognize that healing isn't and wasn't just for yesterday, healing is the nature of our Father. It's just who he is. It's not just healing in your physical body, but it's also healing in your soul. So many of us are brokenhearted and we walk around with a smile on our face, but inside we've been devastated. Jesus doesn't want you just whole in your body. He doesn't want you just whole in your spirit. He wants you whole in your soul. And Jesus today, it's his will. Turn to someone and say, it's God's will that I am whole 100%. Not 75, not 80, not even 99. Jesus paid the price for 100%. In fact, I say it this way, 110 A-A-A-A-I. He No, I've never gotten a tattoo before. But if I ever got a tattoo, which I would have to do without my wife knowing, she could kill me. It would be 110 AAAAI, abundantly above all I could ask or imagine. I don't want just 100. I want 110. Because he does the abundant thing. Amen? That you might have life and life less abundant. That you might have life and just survive until I get there. That you might have life and hopefully, you make it to heaven. No. You might have life and life, not just abundant, but more. I want more. Amen? Well, that's kind of greedy, isn't it? Absolutely. What's wrong with you? There's a time to be greedy. In Christ, there's a time to be greedy. There's a time then that you should go after everything you can get. Amen? And that's whenever it comes to Jesus. I want it all. I don't want half. I want it all. Amen? Father, we thank you that you've healed our bodies and our soul. We thank you for sending your son. And today we declare the very nature of who you are. Jehovah Rapha, I am the God that healeth thee. So healer, we come to you today. And if there's anything in our body that's out of alignment, we release the anointing now. Order. We speak order to the physical body. Order to the soul. I said order. I speak to the brokenhearted. I command the broken heart to be healthy and whole in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise for it. For Jesus, you paid for it. And we receive it. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the bread together. You know, we should be praying over these because you really don't even know what that cracker is. All I know is mine was just crunchy. I should have prayed. Lord Jesus, this is my cup. Some of you think you've gone too far with sin. You've never gone too far. Jesus went all the way for you to pay it all. Amen. Some of you have given up on yourself, and God is saying, if I haven't given up on you, why are you giving up on you? If Jesus can forgive you, you can forgive yourself. And in this morning, early service, that's what I really just felt, was that there are a lot of people that aren't forgiving themselves. It's time to forgive yourself. I don't know what you've done. It's not anybody's business but you and God. But this I do know, if Jesus can forgive you, you can forgive you. Amen? So Jesus, we thank you for forgiving us. We thank you, Jesus, that we are your family. We thank you, Jesus, that we can forgive ourselves. And today as we touch this point of contact, we release the anointing that you will give us the grace to forgive ourselves and release ourselves from the sins of the past that you've already washed away. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's partake together. When I was a kid and we did communion, they used to use Welch's grape juice with crackers. Here you go. With crackers. And after service, we would always get in trouble. Uncle Harold was one of the ushers. And Uncle Harold, all the kids would run up front. Well, I won't say all the kids. Me and my cousin Wayne usually would run up front and start drinking all those cups that were left over as quickly as we could. So Uncle Harold caught us and ripped our ears off. Amen. Then I'd get whooped when I got home. Glory to God. Today I'm excited as this is the year to change forward. Tell somebody, change forward. Come on, tell somebody, change forward. Last week we started talking about why not change forward. We started talking about how most people, let's be real, majority of people want to change. In fact, whether you like it or not, it is literally your DNA to change. It is God's DNA inside of you that he pre-programmed in you as a human being created in his image to change forward. I'll prove it to you. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. which means God is saying, I've created you to multiply, to change, to have more, to increase, and God wants this in your life. And last week we started talking about how many people do not change forward, not because they don't have a desire, but because literally in themselves, they choose not to do things correctly. And we talked about how God has given us the grace. The grace means power to live successfully in our walk with God. That God has given to us that power, that supernatural Holy Spirit to live within us, that we can overcome all of the sin. In fact, you are no longer a slave to sin, but you are free in Jesus Christ. But also we talked about how some people don't change forward, not because God hasn't given them the power, but because they haven't put practical principles into position to bring them to a place of success. How you posture yourself is where you're going to receive from. There's an old saying, get under the spout where the glory's coming out, which simply means if you don't get under the spout, how many of you have ever taken a shower before? Please, everyone, raise your hand. Amen. If you lied, God will forgive you. But if you've taken a shower, let's just say it's a tub, and you turn on the shower head and the water's coming out and you got it, you know, to the perfect degrees and you're ready to get clean, glory to Jesus, and you stand on the other side of the bathtub. How's the shower? Are you in the shower? Yeah. But are you getting wet? No. Maybe your feet from the splashing. But you are not getting a genuine shower until you're under the spout where the glory's coming out. And until you and I make a decision to change forward by positioning ourselves for greater change, then it's only just a thought or a concept or a dream. But God desires for you and I to be successful in all that we do. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. And that's not going to happen until you and I make a decision that I'm going to bring my flesh into subjection. God's given me the power to have power over sin. But not only that, I'm choosing not to position myself incorrectly, that I would be tempted beyond what I desire to be tempted. Remember what I said last week? You don't go to some places that you shouldn't be going to. You don't turn on things you shouldn't be watching. Wonder why you're tempted. Duh. You shouldn't be drinking beverages you shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be smoking things you shouldn't be smoking. Amen. Well, I don't understand. I was just hanging around all my friends, and we were just sitting around the bong together, and I was just so tempted, I gave in. Duh! Well, you know, I went over to my girlfriend's house, but we swore to God we weren't going to have sex. But we were watching that movie, and, you know, we were just kind of laying on the couch together, and I don't know what happened. Well, I do. It's not that hard to figure out. You don't put yourself in those positions. Come on, those are the practical principles of learning how to be successful in your walk with God. You've got to make a decision that God's will is more important than your will, that God's desire that you be clean is more important than you satisfying your fleshly designs. Say amen or oh my. It's a choice that we make in our practical sense. It's not just that we say all of a sudden, I got saved and now I'm perfect. How many of you know you were not perfect the day you got saved? Listen, you were perfect in your spirit, but how many of you know your soul was still messed up? That's the battle, is bringing things into subjection. You're not going to move forward. You're not going to change forward until you make a decision that you might not be able to do the same thing. You can't hang around those same people. Amen. Say amen. Amen. We were talking last week about the great testimony from Morgan. And Morgan, you're not going to take someone who struggled with alcoholism and bring them and let them be a bartender. It's impractical. And I'm not even talking from the Christian side of view. We've got to be wise. Listen, if you're in a position where, let's just say you're in an abused situation, abused relationship, you don't put yourself back into the abused relationship thinking that now I got saved, everything's perfect. Especially if they didn't get saved. You're going to beat the snot out of you again. We've got to make a decision that if we're going to change forward, there's a practical side, our responsibility, but then there's the power of God that is available for us. Well, today I don't want to talk about that at all. Today I want to talk about another reason why people are challenged to change forward. And it's a topic that most of the time in the church world, it's not talked about. It's not brought up because it makes people uncomfortable. It's something that people don't want to talk about because the church world has abandoned the biblical principles because we don't want to feel weird or changed or unique. But I'm telling you, you are a peculiar people because you have a supernatural awakening to the spiritual realm. And the Bible says, don't look at the things which you can see, for they are temporal, but look at the things which cannot be seen, for they are eternal. The fact is that there is an eternal realm that is far more real than the natural realm that you're sitting your hiney on called a chair. Yet we put our faith in the chair that we can see because it's temporal, because it's right in front of us. But what we cannot see, even stringing across this room, are angelic beings. How many of you love Jesus this morning? The Bible says his angels encamp around those who love him. You don't have a guardian angel. That's a really good religion that they have called angelology, where they actually start worshiping angels. But you have at least four angels. Why? Because they're encamped around you, which means in this room it's pretty stacked. When you start studying angels, they seem to be about 9 or 10 feet tall if they appear in the natural. So now in this room, we're kind of crowded. We should put on the air. Say amen. The fact is that we are a spiritual people. We are made. We are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. And as spiritual people, we are eternal. And as eternal people, we've got to recognize that we are living in a world of spirituality that is very vibrant and real, even though you cannot see it with your natural eyes. It is more real than what you can see with your natural eyes. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, our verse for the year, listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. And I want to tell you one of the new things I believe the Holy Ghost is going to do. He's bringing a spiritual awakening to his church. And I'm not talking just a revival, but I'm talking a spiritual awakening to where you're going to understand and be aware of the spiritual beings that are literally active on the planet more than you're actually dealing with the natural. You see, right now, I believe this. We have so many believers that are so naturally minded, they're no heavenly good. There's a time, yes, to be practical, and there's a time to be spiritual. And there's a time to mingle them together. And this is what God is going to start reviving in the church in these last days. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, therefore, submit to God. If I shout, submit to God. Come on, shout, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Today I want to talk about the demonic. Today I want to talk about demon spirits. And in most churches, they don't talk about this because it does make people uncomfortable. But how many of you believe that God is true? How many believe that God is alive? How many believe that there are angels? Then you also believe there are demons. And if the angels are busy, the demons are busy. The demons in America are much different from demons in third world countries. In third world countries, the demonic is very much outwardly spoken. They're known spoken. It's something that can be seen and understood. In America, the demons are very quiet. And they're quiet because the Christians have stopped believing in them. So therefore, if they rear their ugly head in a more of a stronger manifestation, then what happens is the church will revive to an understanding that there is a real demonic spirit realm. And therefore, they're going to start praying more. So if the demons are quiet in America, in churches, what happens is the church forgets about them. We don't take them serious. We're not really aware of them. So therefore, we don't protect ourselves. Amen. Amen. I remember when Prophet Ogunwumi was alive, Prophet Peter, he and I would sit down and we'd talk about his preaching in Africa. And he was from Liberia, and he would stand up. He was a pastor there, and he'd stand up to preach the gospel in an open-air meeting. And he said the witch doctors would start coming, and they would start cursing, and they would start releasing curses upon him as he preached. And he would just rebuke them in the name of Jesus and take authority over them and bind them. Now listen, now if you go to Mexico with us, man, it wouldn't be a strange thing to, in a church service to hear an actual person hiss at you. For the Mayans, they worship the snake god. And you know what I just found out this morning? In the new curriculum in California, they're teaching the children how to worship Mayan gods. In the curriculum. So you see, there's an activity in the spirit realm to draw away from Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, then you believe in the Satan. If you believe in a Satan, then you believe in demonic spirits. And they are still working. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We know that very clearly. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no one greater than God himself. And there is nobody that has absolute authority than God himself. And God created angels to work for him, to serve him, to be on his beck and call, to do as he wills. As I said in the book, as I said this morning, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, they're around the altar of God crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." That's just some of the angels just worshiping him. That's all they do throughout all of eternity is just worship him. But one day, you and I will stand before him. The redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So is pretty good. All right, here we go. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't know if we're really supposed to say so, but so what? It doesn't matter. But here we are as believers. We've got to recognize that God is the king. Now, there was one of the archangels named Lucifer, son of the morning. Lucifer's job, not just job, but who he was, when God created him to be worshiped. The Bible says that when Lucifer moved, worship happened. He was like the worship leader of all of heaven. And one day, he made a decision that he was going to raise himself up above God. Pride and arrogance. This is why pride is such an evil thing, because it literally comes from the very heartbeat of Lucifer. The heartbeat of Satan is rebellion and witchcraft. And you'll find that he said, "I'm going to raise myself up above God." This is found in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, Luke chapter 10. We find that Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Don't be excited that your names, that the demons are subject to you, but be excited that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So here we know that Satan was going to raise up, and God said, "Come on now. You think the created is going to take advantage of the creator? Come on." So he cast him out. The book of Revelation said when he cast him out, that Satan took one third of the angels. One third of the angels went in rebellion against God with Lucifer. And they were cast out of heaven. They were cast onto the earth. Some were actually thrown into the bottomless pit. And they will not be even released until the last portion of the great tribulation period. They're so evil. We know that the demons and God and Satan all have the same motive and design. It's very clear. They have not changed their devices. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of how the device or the actions of Satan is. He's come to steal, shout steal, steal. Kill, shout kill, and destroy. This is simply what he does. His passion is to make sure that as a believer, that you yourself are tormented and tortured. In fact, that's what they love to do. They love to torment. They love to torture. They love to keep people from knowing Jesus. And when you know Jesus, the demons that will be involved in your life are actively trying to keep you from serving the Word of God effectively. They are striving to keep you from being the potential that Christ has created you to be and from fulfilling the very purpose for you being on this planet. It's important that we recognize how and what they're doing. Now, you see, because demons are active and because we physically can't see them, many times we aren't paying attention to the activity that they do. When we start having education, my people perish for lack of knowledge. When we start being educated on how the demonic work, we can identify them. Listen now, they are far more afraid of you than you are of them. And the fact is that you can't cast out the flesh and you can't pray out a demon. I'll explain that as we keep moving forward. Most of the time, the trouble that we actually have when we're following the Lord and the dealing of sin is usually the fleshly things, as we talked about last week. We get tempted, and the Bible talks about it in the book of James chapter 1. The Bible says in James chapter 1, where are we? James chapter 1, where are you? James chapter 1, where are you? James chapter 1. Wow, I skipped all those notes. Okay, let's go back. Now, you got to understand, I can preach this without notes, but it goes longer. So I have notes to stay shorter. Last service, I preached 50 minutes, and I had to cut myself short. So I don't want to do that this morning. I'm going to preach clear with concision. Is that even a word? No, but it's a great word. Is it a word? Oh, my God! Another Spencerism was all developed. Amen. Here's how demons work in your life. Number one, demonic spirits, when you're born again, will influence your life. Now, if you're not born again, it's very important for you to recognize what that means for you when it comes to the demonic realm. When you are not born again, the demonic spirits can do whatever they want with you, whenever they want with you, however they want with you. Well, how is that possible, Pastor? Because the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that you are of your father, the devil. You see, someone that is not washed in the blood of Jesus, someone that does not know Christ as their Savior, literally are dog food to the demons. The demonic spirits can do whatever they desire in your life. They can steal from you, they can destroy in your life, and they can kill in your life. But the fact is that most demons are not going to spend a lot of time with those that are already owned. Now, they do spend a lot of time with those that are leaders in this world that are serving the devil because they can draw more people to themselves. As we're watching even the entertainment world, as they're outwardly, openly worshiping Satan and having Satan's satanic activities, even in, you want to talk about brazen, they're willing to do it even during the Super Bowl midterm. I don't even know, is that what do they call it, mid thing? Halftime, midtime, I don't care what time it is. Patriots weren't in it, it didn't matter. Oh, yeah. This is where they shoot the baskets. They're so open these days because they're leaders in the satanic realm, and they're drawing people. They're drawing the young people to themselves. And like I said, even the educational system in California is now teaching the children how to worship the Mayan gods. Openly. It's brazen. And the church is sitting back in their little building singing kumbaya because we don't want to think about who and what a real demon is and what they can accomplish, and we're allowing them to run rampant. But I want to remind you, we are the light of this world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the authority here. We're the legislative branch of heaven on this planet. We are not weak, but we are strong, and we have a call and a purpose and a responsibility to take back what the devil has stolen by standing firm in the spirit and not allowing us to be shifted or changed. As a Christian, as a believer, demons will influence your life. They'll influence you to sin. Have you ever been to the supermarket before? And you know, I like candy. Anybody else like candy? I like candy. And they do this at the supermarket. You go into the checkout aisle, and the whole right side is candy. Do you know they actually hire psychologists how to set up that aisle and what to put in that aisle? I don't even like Three Musketeers, but every time I get in that aisle, my eye is drawn to chrome. Only the Harley people got that one, I'm sorry. It's amazing when you realize the influence that is being deposited towards you and you don't even recognize it. Can you imagine the demonic realm? Man, you're just walking along. You're serving God. You're having a great day. You haven't even been challenged. Man, it's an awesome, victorious day in Christ. And all of a sudden, you start getting influenced by a demonic spirit. You all of a sudden, thoughts start getting dropped in your head that you hadn't even thought about. They weren't even being contemplated about. That all of a sudden, you got offended over this. Or all of a sudden, you had a desire for a sin that you haven't had in like years. It wasn't even something you were contemplating. But now you're being influenced in that direction. Demons love to influence you to sin. But the greatest part is that the demons can influence. But as a son and daughter of the Most High King, the devils have no power, no authority. We have authority over them, and we can cancel every even influence they try to have and experience in our lives. So demons will try to influence you, But then demons will even go further than that. Demons can oppress you as a Christian. Now, it's important that we recognize what oppression actually is. Oppression can only come when we open the opportunity for them to be there. So, where'd Isaac go? Come here, son-in-law. Yeah, nah, well, we breathe together all the time. You're my son-in-law. Stand down there. Turn around.
Wait, are you jumping on my back?
What?
Are you jumping on my back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
all right. Oppression is different from influence. Influence is, go on over there. I just influenced him. Does he know why he's going over there?
No,
he just went over there. Get over here. I just influenced him again. Does he know why he's here? No. But I do. Oppression is different. The more you open the opportunity through disobedience, through being influenced by a demonic spirit, the demons will then see the opportunity to take it to another level. So a demon always wants to take it as far as they can to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So all of a sudden, you'll find that the demon spirit no longer is just influencing you. Get over here. Now, you see, at any point in time when I push him, he could say no. But he has to make a decision to say no. That's influence. Come here. But when through disobedience you allow the demonic spirits to have more influence in your life, they then will do what's called oppression. Oppression is not living inside. It's not ownership. But it is a lordship. It is where a spirit will actually lay a hold of and you know, I don't care how strong you are, and he's a strong young man. Walk over there, please. I don't care how strong you are. The longer you keep doing squats, you go ahead. The longer I'm attached, the weaker he becomes.
That's good.
And I don't care. Now, I don't care how strong he is. There comes a point in the time when you just start getting tired. And this is when a lot of believers walk away from God. Oh, I'm choking you. That's right. That's my job. My job is to choke you out. My job is to weigh you down. My job is to wear you out. My job is to offend you. My job is to hurt you. My job is to make you weak when you thought you were something. My job is to compel you to sin. My job is to hold you in a sin and not let go. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Oh, good, I got all service. You see, you can't get rid of oppression until you finally get sick of it yourself. You sick of it?
Yep.
Okay. He is sweating. I'm all wet.
Amen.
The great news is that a demon can never possess a Christian. How do we know that? Matthew 25, 25 through 28 says this: every kingdom divided against itself is brought to dissolution, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom your sons cast them out, therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. As a Christian, you can never be possessed. And let me be real. Satan does not really need to possess most Christians. Really, it's not his goal, because he takes them out by oppression. Oppression is powerful, because oppression literally is that place of influence where you come to the position where you are so driven. You are so strongly influenced. I'm looking for the right thing here, because I want to make sure that I say everything properly. That you and I are in a position to where we are so influenced compulsively that we can't seem to get out. Pastor, how do I know if it is my flesh or a demon spirit? And it's really not that hard. One is discernment. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit you should be praying for, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But also, it's very easy to tell. You see, if you had a struggle, let's just say you had a struggle with a sin, and all of a sudden that sin is now positioned in front of you. You feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Say amen. How many of you know the Spirit of God will convict you before you step into sin? So you're looking at the sin and you feel conviction. And you say, I don't think so, I'm not doing that. And you turn around and walk away. That was a temptation in the flesh. So let's say you do it this way. You're tempted and you choose to do it. And then you feel great conviction or guilt and shame, because you know you have overridden the conviction or direction of the Holy Spirit, and now you have sinned. The Bible said, if you've sinned, confess it, God will forgive it. Say amen. And so all of a sudden you say, Jesus, forgive me. I feel guilty and I feel shame. I don't want to do that anymore. And you step away. And the next time that comes, yeah, you're easy. No, I don't think so. Oppression is different. Oppression is that when that sin is there, you are so compelled, you are so driven, it doesn't even make sense. You know you're going to feel guilty. You know you're going to feel shame. You know you're going to regret it. You know it's not ultimately what you want to do, but you are so compelled that it almost like takes over. Oppression is lordship. Not ownership, lordship. When you are oppressed, it literally, that demon, as I was sitting on my son-in-law's back, that demon is literally motivating you and moving you, positioning you to sin. That's his job. Steal, kill, and destroy. What's he steal, killing, and destroying? Your relationship with Jesus Christ. For no sin can be in the presence of God. So we've got to make a decision. We've got to say, now listen now, I recognize that I'm being tempted. The Bible says in James chapter 1, I'm at that verse finally. James chapter 1, where are you? There you are. James chapter 1, there you are. Here we go. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to sin. So normal flesh stuff is all of a sudden that sin is presented to us, and now we have to make a decision. Am I going to still contemplate it? Am I still going to think about it? Am I going to step into it, or am I going to step away from it? That is the choice of regular humanity. That is the battle of a lifetime. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Overcoming the flesh, the enemy of God, Romans chapter 8 says, that the flesh is the enemy of God. But oppression is different. Oppression is when now that you see that opportunity, or that opportunity is presented to you by that demonic spirit, and now it's just like, I can't stop myself. I always end up being there. I don't want to do that, or I end up doing that. How do I end up doing that? I don't want to do that. You find yourself out of control because you've given a level because of disobedience to oppressive spirits, and they now motivate you, compel you, and direct your life, and ultimately will kill your spirit. Yeah. Say amen or oh my.
Amen.
Well, I don't know. This is very uncomfortable. Good. You need to be made uncomfortable. You need to be aware, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. We fight not against flesh and blood. There is a real battle going on, and it's not against your wife or your husband. It's not against your job. It's not even against your sin. Your sin has already been defeated. Those compulsions, that driven passion that seems to control you. Listen, I'm just going to share a few of them with you. We just went through COVID. There were a lot of people driven by fear. Now listen, I'm not talking concern. Concern is smart. You don't walk around the bedpost with no shoes on when you know it's too close to the wall, and every time you do, you're going to hit your toe and break it. That's just intelligence. You don't drive your car 120 miles an hour around that corner. You might have made it one or two times, but duh. That's concern. That's wisdom. I'm not talking that. Fear is different. The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, you need to write that in the comments right now if you're watching online. The Bible says, I didn't say it. Church didn't say it. The Bible says, see, when the Bible says something, you pay attention to it. Because the Bible is our absolute truth. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God's not giving you the spirit of fear. Fear is never from God. Concern is wisdom, but fear is different. Fear is controlling. The Bible says fear is a tormentor. The Bible says that fear, this spirit of fear, will actually take it to the next level. Listen, fear is the baby. The grown-up is a phobia. But you can never have a phobia unless you allow a spirit of fear to start controlling. A phobia is when you're afraid and literally everything about you is now changed. You don't go, you don't do, you don't act. All because of fear. I had somebody say to me recently, well, you know, Pastor, I can't come to church still. And I've been very respectful, very responsive to people. You know, we still have 200 folks that have not come back to the house of God yet. Most of them saying because of COVID. And yet they're at Walmart. Come on now, they're at the supermarket. Well, I've got double mask. I got double glove. Then wear them here. Do you want to know when the spirit's involved? When it makes no sense. Being afraid of an escalator makes no sense. Being afraid of small spaces makes no sense.
Amen.
Is it getting smaller because you're there? Being afraid of heights, a phobia, makes no sense. Being afraid of bridges, and there are people. I can't go that way. Why? There's a bridge.
you saying that you're afraid that bridge is going to collapse because you go on it? When somebody starts talking, when it makes no sense, you'll usually see oppressive spirits that are near with strong influence, because that spirit of fear has now maturated, and now it is a phobia in somebody's life. Now it is controlling somebody's life. It controls where they go. It controls what they do. Controls how they act. Listen, nobody should control you but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And hear me now, no counselor is going to get, come on now, you can't counsel out a spirit of fear. Well, I don't know if I believe in devils. That could be your problem. That could be your issue. Because if you don't believe in them, then they can control you any way they want. And then you can blame your mommy. You can blame your past. Well, you don't know how I grew up. I don't care how you grew up. I know who you are. You're a child of the Most High King. I know who you are. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know who you are. Listen, if you ever hear Brother Henry's testimony of where he came from, where his mom had to, how many jobs did she work? Two jobs a day, raising their children in New York City. Man, when you hear their story, I don't care who you are, there is no way anybody can use an excuse not to be successful, for he is a very successful businessman. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters who's influencing you. Come on now, let's just talk about a few more of these things. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby. Sorry, it just kind of hit me. My problem is I don't even know the song, so. It's amazing today how sex has been so twisted. This new law, if it passes, and you need to be praying against it. I'm not a political person, but this is one you need to pray against because it's going to hurt the church. This Equality Act. One of the statements in the Equality Act is simply that a child, even at 9 or 10 years old, if they're your child, if they feel that they want to be the opposite sex, and they can go to the doctor, and the doctor does not have to consult the parent. If this passes, this is the law, and that your child, they will start surgery on your child at 9 and 10 years old without your permission. That should put a grumble in the humble. Because that's devil. That's demonic. God said there are two sexes. Amen. Male and female. There are not 110. Well, you need to be more inclusive. No, I don't. I need to read the Bible. And the Bible tells me there's male and female. God created them. If that offends you, don't be mad at me. Be mad at God. And I don't mind that you're mad at God. That's your choice. It's cutting off your nose, spite your face. But the fact is that sex has been so twisted and contorted. And nowadays, man, well, listen, if this Equality Act happens, ladies, you need to be a little bothered simply because there are no more women. So all the progressive things that women have done on this world, there is no such thing as a woman. They're all claiming, well, we're the first. You'll be the first nothing. It's twisted and contorted. We're making sexual things that God has made good. God made sex good. And all the married said, amen. Amen. The unmarried said, oh my. That's right, because you shouldn't know about it. Say amen. Here we have now, even in the church world, where they're saying over, I think it was 60% of the Gen Xers don't believe it's a sin to have sex before marriage. A few decades ago, actually it wasn't a few decades ago, it was when John Ware was the youth pastor here. There was a big thing going around about anal sex, and that as long as you didn't have vaginal sex, but just anal sex, it was okay. It wasn't sex. Went all around the teenagers, the college young men and young women.
Right now, you've got to recognize that the demonic are so active. And the church is so receptive. I remember back when I was a child. Actually, let's just take it to teenagers. When I was in Bible college, I had an issue with lust. I was looking at girls. Now, in Bible college, you got to understand, the Bible college I went to, they wore dresses up to the ring of their neck, to their wrists, and to their ankles. There was no form, just void. Because they had to be baggy. So when you walked out of there, man, it was like, whoa, those are jeans. Whoa, those are jeans. And man, I started getting into real lust, and I was checking out a girl not once, not twice, but three times a lady. And, you know, it was amazing as, you know, you're watching, you know, and one day I'm on the church, the Bible college van, on the way to a ministry. We were on a drama team traveling the United States. And this girl's walking down the street, and I'm checking her out, and whoa. And the Holy Spirit said, sin! How dare you do that to my daughter? And he said, you got a spirit. Listen, you can't help but see somebody that's beautiful, but your second and third look, man, is not looking at her beauty. Amen. And ladies, when you wear less, amen, you cause them to sin more. I gotta hurry. Ow! Here's another one that's very oppressive, and that is sadness, depression. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1. The spirit of heaviness. Man, there's nothing wrong with being discouraged. How many of you know that everybody in this room at some point in time is going to be discouraged? Discouragement is not a strange thing, but when we allow discouragement to go from just you and I not listening to the word of God, come on now, that's what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about you and I listening to the word of God. For the Lord has not given us the spirit of heaviness or fear, amen? He's not given us that. He's not given us sadness. He's not given us depression. That's not it. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you allow that spirit of heaviness to hang around long enough, it's going to attach itself to you, and then you're going to get depressed, and then it's going to take it further and further and further, and then you're going to be out of control in a very bad spiral mentally. Well, I just have mental illness. I guarantee you there are less people with mental illness and more people with demonic situations in their life. Well, Pastor, you're saying I should get off my medicine? I'm saying, no, you go to your doctor. He'll help you get off your medications. I knew somebody that was on so many medications, they all crossed each other and made her more depressed and suicidal because she was on so many of them. Go to your doctor and get off your meds correctly, under their direction. How did I do, doctors? Amen. God has not given you addictions, drug addiction, alcohol addiction. Addictions are never from God. They're ownership. These are oppressive spirits in your life. You need to break their power in the name of Jesus. I've got to go quick. Your thoughts, bitterness, isn't it amazing? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, the Bible says that do not give the devil a foothold. And that whole text is talking about anger and bitterness and wound. Every one of us have to pay attention. We're all going to get tempted. We're all going to get tempted with sin. That's just life. And there is no temptation that man has not seen, says Corinthians chapter 10, that God has not given us a way of escape. But when we are put in a position where we are so compelled and we are so owned, come on now, we are so lorded over and so driven to a situation, we have got to identify what that is. That is not you losing control in your mind. That is not you losing control in your emotions. That is a spirit that is trying to motivate you, manipulate you, and work you to a place and a position of captivity. And God has said, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. God has the power, and so do you. He's given you that authority over every single devil. And not one of us have the right or should give the right to be oppressed by a demonic spirit. Amen. So we all got to look at our lives. What is that thing that's so compulsive, so when you get around your friends, you just can't help but do it. You're just so driven by that. You got to know there's a spirit involved. Your flesh isn't that weak. How do I know? Because when you are weak, he is strong. But when you are so compelled and so driven to do that sin, you've got to identify this is a demonic spirit. When you go to bed, wake up, and when you even dream about those kind of things, that is a demonic spirit. You've got to take control of that. The Bible says so very clearly. He said in the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 19, listen carefully, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of Satan, and nothing will in any ways hurt you. Shout it out loud. I have all authority. Every demon of hell is afraid that you're actually going to learn that, because when they start to tempt you, when they start to influence you, when they start to try to compel you, when they try to oppress you, you're going to look at them and shake them off, as Paul did that serpent that came out of that bundle of sticks, and you will not be harmed. You will not be wounded. You will stand in authority. You will stand in power. You will stand in the anointing, and you will stand in victory, and you don't have to keep falling every single time because of the oppression of the devil. Say amen. Amen. God needs this in your life. He needs this in your life, because people that are oppressed are always getting up and falling down, getting up and falling down. They never move forward because they're always striving to remain steady. God don't want you to remain steady only, but steady forward. And that can't happen if you're always in recovery mode. You got to make choices in your life. And everything is a choice. Come here. He made a choice to come up here. Go sit down. He made a choice to go sit down. Come up here. He made a choice to come up here. He made a choice to tolerate that, because I know he can beat me up. He knows where the food is this afternoon. You hope I love you. I remember when he was dating my daughter. Is that bothering you?
I don't like my head being this high.
You don't like your head being this high? Is that uncomfortable? Is that uncomfortable? Yeah, just move. I mean, you can stay there if you want. It's up to you. I mean, you're strong enough to get out of it.
That was a word. What did you do? God.
Don't do that. You have a choice.
Oh, wait, you want me to really get up?
Yeah.
Oh. Right. I have an earring in. I got earrings in.
where my earrings are. You didn't look for it.
It's choice. I can irritate him. But he has the choice. No bites. I didn't tell you to sit down. The wild part is being respectful. He didn't break out of that. But I was still hurting him on purpose. I was stretching his neck. And I did grab his earring. And if you know what that feels like, if you have one. I did that on purpose because I wanted to physically hurt him. He's my son-in-law. You're supposed to do that. But did you see when he got sick of it? He said, no more? Will you finally say no more? Will you finally say I've had enough? Will you finally say I take authority over you, spirit, in Jesus' name? I take authority over your influence. I take authority over your torture. I take authority over your power in my life. I won't tolerate it. I'm going to liquidate it in the name of Jesus. You have choices. You have authority over the devil. He doesn't have authority over you unless you give it to him. And you have to make choices. God needs a church in these last days that are not all bound up with devils. But are going to run with great strength. With no hindrance. And the greatest hindrance in most of our lives is what we tolerate from the demonic realm. And we've got to make a choice. What are you going to tolerate to eliminate your destiny? Think about it. Let me say it one more time. What are you willing to tolerate to eliminate your destiny? Me? I don't know. Maybe I'm just a crusty old guy. I'm double nickeling in a few weeks. Isn't that old? Thank you. Suck up. I'm just one of those kind of people. I'm not willing to give it up for stupid. And if I got to get rid of people in my life, I got to get rid of places in my life, I got to get rid of things in my life, I'm smart enough to say, I'm not going to give the devil a foothold in my life. And I've got to make choices. My question is, are you willing to make those choices? Because if not, well, you get to toy with the devil. I should say, he gets to toy with you. Don't blame God. You've given the devil the right and authority to play with your life. Well, I'm sorry. I know what he's out to do. And I'm just not going to play with him. I don't do those games. And he's already lost. So I'm not going to help him. Amen. 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 Bow your heads with me this morning. Ooh, that was a good sermon. I'm sorry, I was blessed. I didn't care if you were. Sam said he was blessed. So did Isaiah. I want you to pray this right out loud with me. Jesus, I thank you for changing my life. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the blood that not only forgave my sin, but gave me authority over the devil. Today I stand here in my spirit, strong and tall, and I declare no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I declare in Jesus' name, no oppressive spirit is going to be allowed in my life. I will not tolerate him. I will take authority
in Jesus' name and bind it up. Spirit of sin, I command right now, whatever it is in my life, I break your power. I break your power, spirit of fear. You have no right to control me, manipulate me. I am owned by God. And the Lord says, the joy of God is my strength. I will not be in fear. I will not be in intimidation. I will stand firm in the authority of Jesus' name. Any addictions, I break your power in the name of Jesus. You foul devil, get off me in Jesus' name. You no longer have the right to influence me, to push me, to make compulsion out of me. I break your power in my life in Jesus' name. I take authority over all sexual sin, all sexual oppressive devils, and I break your power in Jesus' name in my life. I take authority over every thought, over every kind of bitterness. In Jesus' name, I shut the door on the devil. I break your power. Loose me, devil, in Jesus' name. I am free. I said, I am free, and free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I want you to know God. If you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh, and by the way, moms and dads who choose not to break this, it will go down to your sons and your daughters. The sin goes down to the third and the fourth generation. So break it quick. Say amen or oh my. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, today I want to introduce you to the greatest King that has ever lived and still living. Amen. Risen again on the third day. Today, if you'd like Jesus as your Savior, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone here this morning? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Praise the Lord. I just excited for you. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, release a blessing on the house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I declare, God, in Jesus' name, the covenant of the heavens, Lord, that you paid for is truly ruling over our lives. There is no sin that is too powerful. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for healing. Thank you for prosperity. And I speak that over this house in Jesus' name. The bride is coming home. The great return. Lord, fill your house with people hungering and thirsting after righteousness. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you. Thank you for being here. If you still feel you need deliverance, there'll be pastors up at the front of the altar to pray for you. And we want to honor God and honor the blessing. Now listen, if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be saved, right over in this corner, if you're online, it's 97000. Make sure you type that and type, I am saved. And we'll make sure we get a hold of you. We love you. Be blessed. If you need a deliverance, right up front this morning.